Josiah Steele came by to make sure the companions were all safe after the earthquake.
Young Penny Boot broke her wrist when a cupboard came off the wall on top of her. Not serious.
We're fine. I don't know how Doc got along, out in the woods on his own.
I reckon that you could be hearing some bad news in the next 2 or 3 hours, once that cold, hard Owsley and his gang get back to the Vill. They won't likely be taking prisoners.
Is Wolf planning to chill us all?
Not for me to try and guess.
But if you were a gambling man, you wouldn't give good odds on survival.
No odds I could offer you at all.
Suddenly, JB's usual icy control snapped, and he jumped off the bed, coming right at the man.
You stinking bastard! I'll rip your lungs out!
Steele hastily drew his blaster and jammed it into the advancing man's stomach.
Hey! Just back off!
Ryan quickly came between them, brushing aside the Hawes Montana Marshal 45. He placed a hand on his old friend's shoulder, looking him in the eyes, unable to see the true expression behind the glittering lenses of the spectacles.
There's no need for this.
All right. Dark night, but I hate this waiting.
JB turned away, ignoring the threatening blaster. Ryan also turned away, but his eye was caught by something glittering brightly on the lapel of JB's coat. The little rat counter was a clear and unarguable red. Not orange, not reddish orange, full red. The wind that had dropped during the quake was suddenly rising again, setting up with a real menace, shaking the largest branches on the huge pines all around my attendant's little cottage. Maya remained in her rocking chair, one hand absently stroking the kittens. Doc leaned back, blinking as the wind blew dust into his pale eyes.
Could be in for some darned unpleasant weather.
Hold up the pursuers, mayhap. Indeed, I have a scintilla of hope that the quake might have deterred them from chasing me any farther.
Not those children of the rock, Doc. All the years I've been here, they've been sniffing around and causing trouble, kidnapping little ones from the Mescalero who arrived here a few years back. Oh, nothing but anguish. They leave me alone, though that miserable one-armed son of a bitch, Joshua Wolf, tried to have me burned as a witch about 3 winters ago. Failed. I went up to their Poverty Hill Vill and defended myself against their charges. Challenged them to burn me or hang me. Of course he backed off.
So you think it likely that the villains will attempt to follow me?
Guess so, Doc.
Maya stood suddenly, brushing the little tabbies from her skirts. She stared across the small kitchen garden, with its neatly tilled rows of vegetables. Coming toward them was a very large ginger cat, stalking between the cabbages, its tail held high like a bright orange beacon.
Here comes me Hittabel. Way she's moving tells me we're about to have us some company. Best get you hid, Doc.
The woman held Doc's large hand in her slender, dry fingers and led Doc up a twisting, cupboard staircase into a low-beamed attic. It was crowded with antique items of furniture, many of them so old that they actually took Doc back to his childhood, some 200 years ago. There was a beautiful mahogany credenza and an elegant pedal harmonium, made in woodstock, with ivory knobs and keys, a sideboard so big that Doc guessed it had to break down into smaller constituent parts, unless they'd originally built the attic around it. There was a round table, beautifully veneered, with a pie-crust edge and a single central claw foot. And the linen chest. Maya told him that it had once belonged to her great-great-grandmother, taking it back way before the long winters and the horrors of Skydark. The acanthus pattern around the lid was deeply polished, and the ornate key turned smoothly in the oiled brass lock. At first it didn't seem possible for Doc to coil his length into it, but Maya removed some fragile sheets from it, and he was able to hunker down. Cramped and stooped, he heard the key turn in the lock. Christy sat up, sipping at a bowl of oatmeal with some wild honey stirred into it. She was still very fragile, but the draining effect of using the Gaia power was gradually wearing off. She sat and listened while Ryan took her quickly through everything that had happened since she became unconscious, explaining why it became necessary for the ailing Doc to flee from Hopeville.
Couldn't you have tried to get at the weapons? Maybe it would have been easier, safer.
Wolf doesn't need much excuse to justify murdering us all. And the odds were way too long against us. It was just a question of waiting a while longer.
Some folks putting up storm shutters.
Give us cover for escape?
Possibly. Need to be a sight worse than this, though. Now, if there was to be another Shaker, then it might give us a chance.
Owsley led his sweating men up the narrow side trail to the cottage. To his frustration, they hadn't been able to find any definite tracks of the old man, but he felt confident that they would find him with the mad old cat lady. He made his way to the front stoop.
Hey in there, bitch! We know you got a guest, we fucking want him out here! You got just 30 seconds to come out with him, or we come in hard and heavy. Do some damage, put a hurting on your cats! And you! 30 seconds, bitch, and your time starts now!
Doc could hear Owsley shouting. He was crouched in the sweet-scented linen chest of carved walnut and cedar. For a passing moment, Doc felt the frightening taint of claustrophobia and sucked in a deep breath, wondering just how airtight the old chest might be, and just how long the remaining air might last. With an effort, he controlled his respiration, fighting against the sudden temptation of a violent coughing fit. He'd seen enough of Wolf's men to figure that they wouldn't deal kindly with Maya Tennant if they found out that she'd been sheltering the object of their anger.
You be careful there. I don't know what kind of trouble you're looking for this time, but woe betide anything happens to any of my stuff. And you best not even think about touching a strand of fur on my babies.
Shut that flapping trap. The blessed Jesus, Lord of freedom and the detester of government, says that the open mouth of a nagging slut is an offense in the eyes of any right-thinking person. I say amen to that.
I say that sect men are all either bullies or cowards, and most frequently both.
By the three Kennedys, but I can take one of the mongrels with me, Emily.
He could plainly hear that he was no longer alone. He steeled himself in expectation of discovery.
This is the attic. Keep telling you I haven't seen an old man. Haven't seen a man at all for nigh on 3 weeks. There's just me and my cats here.
If I have to, I'll slit the throat of every fucking one of your cats. Start with that sinister black bastard.
Don't you dare, bastard!
You kicked me in the balls, you detestable whore!
You hurt Astaroth, you devil! You deserve all the agony I just gave you trying to wound a poor defenseless little mite like Astaroth.
Defenseless? Fucking claws open me up from wrist to elbow!
Yeah, that cat got you good. You're bleeding all over the place.
God damn it, I know that, you triple stoop!
Doc's fingers were slippery with perspiration. He was trying to do what Ryan had always advised. If there was going to be some sort of combat, then try to ready yourself for it. Imagine the opening moves of the fight, so that you had a heartbeat's edge over your opponents. But that still came down to having a single chance with the rapier. One lunge, that was all there'd be. Doc thought it through, imagining the feeling of the razored steel as it slid between the fourth and fifth ribs, warm blood gouting along the blade, over his hand and wrist. Then there would be the crack of blasters. Probably, Doc thought, several of them. He winced, closing his eyes in the perceived expectation of several 44 and 45 caliber bullets ripping into his body, punching great holes in his flesh, smashing bones to white shards. He wondered how long death would take to come.
Shit! I may have to walk like this for the rest of my life. Now, bitch, how about open up that old chest for us? Or would you rather we smashed it in?
Why on earth would you want to
open... I said do it now!
Doc held his breath.
Bastard rough!
JB stood in the doorway of their cabin, bracing himself against the gale, his eyes narrowed. Christy was walking around the room, leaning heavily on Ryan's shoulder, her fiery hair glowing in the gloom of the hut. Her face was pale, her emerald green eyes tight shut, her lips pinched. A tiny worm of blood inched over her jaw. Ever since she first recovered consciousness, she had been fighting hard to regather her damaged strength. Now she let go of Ryan and flopped back onto the bed.
Damn this guy a weakness.
Without it, you'd likely have been butchered. You know that you can't just use it and hope to get away free. Drawing on the Earth Mother's power always takes a dreadful toll on you.
Yeah, I know it. But if I'd been fit and able, then we could have pulled together for Doc.
We hadn't seen any sign of Joshua Wolf or his crazed minions. Not since Owsley had led his hunting party off. The shutters had been battened down on all of the buildings, fires extinguished, the Ville's dogs gathered in to safety.
Ain't getting nothing but worse. Hope Doc's not caught out in this.
Hope Doc's not caught, period.
Reckon they'd bring him back here?
I'm sure of it. Wolf seems to be the sort who likes showing a good example. Let the Children of the Rock see his authority. Big public execution is likely his style.
Then us.
Yeah, then us. Doc was as ready as he ever could be. The lion's head hilt gripped tight, his whole body braced to explode out of the chest. He could almost see Owsley, poised to smash his wooden coffin, and Maya Tennant's unsuccessful efforts to convince him otherwise. And above it all was the muffled fury of the storm.
Lock the fence before I break it in, lady.
I have a key somewhere. Just give me a bitchin' minute, will you? If this man you're after is in there, then he surely isn't going anyplace.
Doc grinned, lips tight across his excellent teeth. He was impressed with Maya's gameness, even to the last.
Sounds like the roof's going. Maybe we best get out of here, Brother Owsley.
Suddenly, Doc felt the wooden walls of the chest start to vibrate, and he tensed himself, thinking that the pursuers were trying to tilt it or lift it. But Doc was wrong. The chest spun as though possessed by its own malevolent demon.
What the fuck?
Jack took a couple of loose, staggering steps to one side, his hands stretched out to fight for balance. J.B. lurched toward the bed, stumbling and falling atop of Mildred, who reached up to check him.
Damn!
Brian and Dean were close to the bed where Christy lay, and they managed to sit down quickly, feeling the floor shifting and rippling like liquid sand. The timbers creaked and split, unpeeling furrows of white splinters. And there was the familiar rumbling, rising all above and around the noise of the massive storm, like a dozen powerful war wags revving their engines at once, somehow directly beneath the planking of the cabin. There had been bad quakes at other times in Ryan's life, and he recognized the bizarrely disorienting effects, with reality crumbling at the edges. He struggled to focus his mind on what they should do.
Outside! It's safer than in here!
Outside, everyone!
Easier said than done. Ryan remembered being on a sailing ship once through a tornado. When he stood, the sensation was remarkably similar. The whole building was quivering like a frightened animal. He staggered and nearly fell.
Shit!
He recovered his balance and held out a hand to steady Christy as she swung her legs off the bed. Dean was up and moving. Jack was first to reach the door, moving with the natural poise of a skilled acrobat, hesitating with his fingers gripping the handle.
Ready?
J.B. held Mildred by the hand as they weaved across the heaving floor, looking like a couple of drunks trying to make a decorous exit from a frontier gaudy.
Door's jammed!
There was a ferocious shuddering, and the kerosene lamp crashed off the table onto the floor, rolling under one of the beds, plunging the room into momentary darkness. But that lasted for only a few seconds. A flicker of orange flame snaked out of the blackness as the dust-dried blankets caught fire, followed by the floorboards igniting in the fierce heat.
Fire!
J.B., Dean, and Brian reached Jack, and they all threw their weight against the opening. But it was obvious that the whole structure of the hut had become twisted by the quake, pinning the door into its warped frame. Already the place was filling with coils of choking smoke, muffling the climbing flames.
Already getting hard to breathe.
Bastard windows are all shuttered from the outside.
There had been a period of total confusion. Doc's control over his own mind had never been that strong, and times of severe stress tended to create some serious brain slippage. If he'd been presented with a wagload of Jack, he could never have told anyone how long the shuddering, crashing, sliding, and yelling went on. It could have been less than 15 seconds. It might well have lasted for 2 or 3 minutes. Either way, it seemed to Doc to be an endless eternity of terror. When he came around, the movement had ceased. For a while he lay cocooned in the welcome stillness, luxuriating in the calm. He couldn't sense the presence of the Children of the Rock. They had to have gone. Otherwise, they'd have broken in the lid of the chest and hauled him helplessly out.
Hello? Hello? Anyone there? Mrs. Tennant? Are you out there, madam? Could you possibly unlock me?
Doc braced himself against the sides of the chest, pushing with all his strength. Despite the splits in the wood, the bands held like iron.
Duck realized that the storm was still raging. He also realized that he could smell the bitter, acrid tang of wood smoke. He wriggled around onto his side, kicked out with the heels of his cracked knee boots, pounded at the splintered sides of the old chest. He was making precious little progress, and smoke was filtering in from a substantial fire elsewhere in the cabin.
Hello? Somebody! I'm locked in! Mrs. Tennant! Anybody! Help! Help!
Fire blast!
There was a final shock that felt as though the whole building were being jerked sideways, with one end dipping and twisting. Christy was knocked off the bed onto the floor, and all the others were thrown off their feet. Ryan banged his elbow against the door, blinking in the sudden shaft of light. One of the shutters had been torn off its mounting, the glass shattering in the window as the wall of smoke opened before Ryan's eye. He saw Christy staggering across the rocking floor.
Get out!
She led the way, risking cuts on the broken window panes, followed by Jack and Dean. JB came next, helping out a dazed Mildred. Ryan was last out of the burning building. He emerged into a wilderness of destruction.
Doc? Are you all right?
Doc opened his eyes that he had shut in his panic. He blinked in the light and saw the silhouette of the elderly woman. He took her proffered hand to haul himself upright onto shaky legs. Smoke billowed around her, and he could see a deep cut leaking blood from her forehead. He reached up and gently touched the wound.
I am a little fatigued, madam. But what of your good self? Those brutish thugs harm you?
Not Brother Owlsley. It was that last severe shock did the damage. Threw me ass over tits, and I banged my temple on the dining table.
Have they gone?
Wouldn't know, Doc. Think so. Ran off like they'd messed their breeches.
I confess that I do not entirely blame them. It was as unpleasant an earthquake as I think I have ever encountered. And now there's this smoke.
Doc waved his blue kerchief to try to clear the air. Maya managed a rather wobbly grin.
I fear the old homestead's done for, Doc. My felines got out of the way. Looks like they all sensed it coming and headed out into the woods. I'll collect them together later. Main thing is for us to get our asses into gear and get out of here.
I am with you, ma'am.
The smoke thickened, and Doc could now glimpse the red-gold glow of flames burning on the first floor.
Best take it careful outside. Those religious crazies could be anywhere close by, I guess.
The kitchen and living quarters were well ablaze, bright fire dancing along the tumbled ceiling. Doc thought he glimpsed a dead ginger cat, pinned beneath a fallen rafter, but he felt it better not to draw attention to it. He followed Maya toward the open front door. She hesitated a moment, just inside, glancing behind her, shaking her head sorrowfully. Doc took her by the arm and led her gently out, blinking into the light, moving off the veranda to lead her past the cottage garden.
Hey, best part of a lifetime going here.
At least you've got your blessed cats. And you also have your life.
Doc took in several deep breaths, savoring the clean freshness, while behind them, the flames were roaring into an inferno.
You're a fine person for looking on the bright side of life, Doc.
Better to look in the mud and find a diamond than to find mud among the diamonds. Or some such saying. I disremember the details.
Hold it right there, bastards!
Brother Waite suddenly appeared from behind a fallen apple tree, holding his rifle at high port, his eyes wild, bleeding from mouth and nose.